Welcome back to the Physician's Guide to Doctoring. On this week's episode, we have a guest host. So please be the same respectful audience you are for me and enjoy.
Recruiters calling or texting you nonstop? Want to find the right job without exposing your personal info? Need tools to manage your search all for free? In every industry, there comes a moment when innovation challenges the status quo, ushering in a new era of possibilities. Beginly gets it. They get us. Their platform anonymously matches you with jobs that suit you until you decide to share your info. Customize your job search based on economic factors like salary or cost of living, or non-economic factors like location or nearby stadiums or airports. And their algorithm does the rest, all for free. Ready to find your perfect job? Visit beginlyhealth.com/doctoring. Powered by preference, connected by passion.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Physician's Guide to Doctoring. In today's episode, seasoned large hospital physician recruiter Jennifer Cambies shares valuable insights on communication best practices during the recruitment process, what to do if you're uncomfortable seeking references from your current place of employment, and other negotiation tips. So listen in.
Hey, this is Brad Block, host of The Physician's Guide to Doctoring. This is a personal and professional development podcast for physicians where we have experts on the show that try to teach us everything we should have been learning while we were memorizing Krebs cycle.
For today's episode, I am your host, Dr. Amna Shabir, and I'm very excited to introduce our guest, Jennifer Cambies, Director, Special Initiatives at the Cleveland Clinic. Today, we will get her expert insights into the world of physician recruitment. Jen has been working as an in-house staff physician recruiter since 2004. She obtained her bachelor's degree in healthcare administration from Ohio University in 2002 and an MBA with a healthcare management focus from Regis University in 2008. Jen manages the recruitment process for several specialties. Additionally, she has oversight of the resident and fellow initiatives, which offer career support services to trainees as they enter the workforce, diversity recruitment activity for professional staff. She also manages the department metrics and other strategic projects for her department. And we're really excited she's here with us today. So Jen, thank you for joining us. And I'm going to dive straight in. Communicating appropriately is critical during the negotiation recruitment process. And so I am very curious to know your expert insight into what are the best practices to communicate and negotiate with organizations during the recruitment process.
Thanks, Amna. I'm so excited to be here and share some interesting pearls with you all today. So I think, you know, the biggest point is to know your point of contact and who the appropriate person is to be having these conversations and negotiating with. I think, you know, a lot of times communication is hard when you're busy in your residency or fellowship. So, you know, really important to be responsive to the requests of your future employer. Things like negotiating are very sensitive topics. This is best handled if it's done by phone or a virtual meeting. You know, if a face-to-face is possible at all, that's an ideal situation. However, a lot of times you're doing a national search and might be looking to relocate, so it's really important. And then I think when you do dive into those conversations and negotiating, it's really important to know what you want and know what's essential for job satisfaction. As you're going through your interview process, taking some time to think about your career goals, you know, important to you and your family, if you're relocating, and being honest and upfront about those things and transparent with your potential employer is really an important part of this process. Also with negotiating, you know, it's a process that you're going through to develop a win-win. You're joining this new practice and you want to start off on a great foot. So think about what you can bring to the table as you're asking for things. That's also a benefit to your potential employer. So I think, you know, those things are really important. Thinking outside the box in the negotiation process might not be something that you could negotiate a higher salary or more vacation time, but you could maybe get some protected time for research or education based on what your interests are, or maybe some more CME money, things like that. So it's really important to kind of think about what's important, negotiate, you know, what's essential for job satisfaction, And, you know, what you can bring to the practice. Those would be the items that I would recommend focusing on as you enter into your job search and negotiation process.
So the main thing that I'm hearing, first of all, is for one to know what you want. As you're starting this process, and I work with a lot of early career physicians, a lot of residents and fellows that are just starting out their jobs, and then also physicians that are transitioning. So when you don't know what you want in the first place, and we're just kind of throwing around our CV, seeing what works, it's really important to first key in that part. The second thing you mentioned is the clarity and transparency. And a lot of questions that I get from my clients that are in this process is email, phone call, when, what? So as somebody who works in a large organization and has had this huge experience, you're recommending phone would be better. I would love to pick your brain a little bit more. Like, let's imagine that we have candidate A, and candidate A has applied and they're interested in your organization. And after interview process is done and they've had an offer placed to them, they want to tweak things around a little bit and they have some things they would potentially want to negotiate. What would be, like you said, a win-win way to approach it? Should they first reach out to you by email, reach out to somebody in the department by email with whom they interviewed, or and then set up a phone call? Just a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, based on the organization, it's going to vary. We have our department chairs sending out offers. So that would be the appropriate point of contact. In most cases, that's what I've seen in my experience from other organizations as well. So I think an initial email, you know, to the person who's extending the offer would be the appropriate, you know, point of contact to start with, and ask them, you know, can we schedule a call? I have some items I'd like to discuss with you. I mean, I think everyone expects a candidate to negotiate their contract. So I don't think it will come as a surprise, but I think reaching out and then setting up a designated time. We're talking about very busy physicians, and so they can give their attention to you as well during that time. And so make sure as you go into that, you've done your homework, right? You've thought about what's really important to you. You have your key items you want to negotiate. You have ample support to back those up, right? Why are you asking what you're asking for? So do some homework, make sure the information you're gathering is accurate, it's from a reputable source. I know a lot of times we want to negotiate compensation, and that's, you know, you can find a lot online. However, you got to really dig into where it's coming from, because you really want to make sure it's a reputable source and not just any website. So those are the types of things. And then have that call and be very open-minded and creative, you know, in what you're presenting. And I think, you know, it's a really good experience to have too. So even if you have a contract you're really happy with and you don't feel you want to negotiate anything, it might be good just to try like one or two things just to have that experience, because a lot of us don't ever have that experience. So practice when the stakes aren't that high. And, you know, if you're okay with them saying no, it won't be a loss. But I think future employers expect candidates to come back with some negotiations.
I really want to highlight that, because that's not what the candidates are hearing, especially the ones that are starting out in their first jobs. And as you have probably seen with the recent MGMA data coming out, that early career physicians with their first job are leaving in the first 2 years. When I tell someone, and even as you say it, I'm trying to imagine myself talking to a chair of medicine who has sent a letter, it can be very intimidating. So I really want to highlight this, that they are expecting you to reach out to them and have a conversation. So a lot of times it's either like, I want to run for the hills. It's an all or none thing. I just want to run away. I don't want to ask for things. And then later on, this creates an unhappy situation where then we have physician burnout, retention becomes an issue. And like you're saying, even if there's nothing overtly, you can still ask. You can still ask for something that would allow you to practice medicine fully. And if not nothing, it's important to know that they're expecting this and to normalize this experience, because most often what I hear is negotiate is a really bad word. And like, why would you negotiate?
Well, and I think, you know, there's different amounts of leverage you have based on what type of practice you're going into. Larger academic sites, there's not as much flexibility. And it's not that they don't want to negotiate. It's just most things are kind of standard. They have a standard contract that almost all their physicians are on, or they have a standard benefits package. And so there's not as much just leverage there. Private practice, there's a lot more flexibility and, you know, discussion that can happen within a smaller group. So just something to be mindful of when you do start the negotiations.
I did like when you had earlier mentioned the creative part. So even with, and I would love your thoughts on this, even with a larger organization and those standard contracts, I am optimistic that if one is creative and approaches something with a lens of like, here's what I bring and is there room? So I don't know why I feel there's always room.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes there's not, but it could also be a future state to work towards, right? Many times a lot, you know, we have candidates who want an academic role and they want protected time. Two parts to that. You do have to prove yourself to get that. Usually you're not getting a lot of that right out of residency or fellowship. Or know that right now we don't have anything, but these are the roles that are available. And if something were to become available, we'd be happy to consider you for that. So it's really important, again, back to transparency, that your future employer knows what your career goals are and they can kind of have you on their radar for those roles if they become available.
Now, that's really good to know as well, because if, again, if you're thinking of all these things and you're thinking in a more dejected, kind of exhausted way, fine, I'll take it. But when you communicate, the energy shifts as well. Okay, maybe it's a not now, but when something gets available, I can definitely use it. Shifting gears just a little bit, a point of agony that has come up recently with some of my clients has been references. As physicians approach these, and so I'll give you two examples. One is somebody who's seasoned, who might have worked in a practice for a long period of time and is now switching jobs from practice B, where they were for a shorter time period. And the employer where they're wanting to go to is asking for references in the time frame that would land in the place where they are right now. And they feel uncomfortable asking for references in that situation from their current peers. They still have, maybe can find one ally that they can confide that they are looking for a job. Another situation would be an excellent, phenomenal resident or fellow starts a job at another institute, and for whatever reasons, things don't work out. And a lot of that, we all know that organization culture varies vastly. And now they're trying to find another job, or they're approached by somebody and they're asking for references. But again, those references, it's uncomfortable to ask from those situations. I would love to hear your thoughts surrounding that. What are you looking for? And just maybe, are there any tones of hope that we can add to this?
And I think you're going to recognize a common theme in my response. You know, transparency is key. I think if you're in a hard, toxic situation, you have to have a way out. If you're upfront with your potential employer about why you're leaving your practice, and it can be done in a very positive way without, you know, negative tones towards your current employer. We all make mistakes. We're human. A job may seem great up front. 2-3 months down the road, it might not be a great fit. Or things can just change. You know, dynamics can change and how you feel about your career goals can change. So that definitely can happen. So I think it's really important for people to be transparent and explain where they are in their job search and their journey. Working with your future employer can be a great way to handle this situation. Let them know, you know, how you feel about like asking for references. It is something that is important and is typically part of every process. However, I think you can work with your potential employer and work out a plan that everyone's satisfied with. And I think the employers are, it's worse if you don't share the bad situation and why you're leaving the practice and don't say anything versus saying something and then working through this process with them. So maybe you can have a situation where you go to your previous employer, or you can work around a couple years out of training. Maybe you go back to your residency or fellowship program, and those are people who can speak to your character. They know you well. I think that's what's important. You want references that know you well and can really attest to who you are, how you practice medicine, and so on and so forth. So I think that's what's really important in this process. Maybe too, there could be flexibility. You could get an offer extended. you know, so you can review, know that it's something you're willing to accept, and then initiate the reference check. I know a lot of times with more established physicians that have been working, they don't want to let their employer know they're leaving until they have an offer. You know, working through that process with your potential employer can be really helpful. And I wouldn't worry so much. I think, you know, if you can share what's going on, people have been in your situation. You know, we all make mistakes. We're human. We may pick the wrong practice and it's okay. Like I said, things can change. And we have to get out of that. We have to have an opportunity to move forward. So flexibility and transparency in those conversations.
Leaving a medical practice
with
is
your
challenging.
Future employer will be really important.
It can
important
be reimbursement changes, referral
right
slowdowns,
track.
Staff turnover, or drama. There are obstacles in the way of achieving your goals, or maybe it feels like you've hit a plateau. Who can you turn to for help with the business of managing a medical practice? The Physician Growth Accelerator, a private practice partner that helps you uncover and overcome constraints in your practice. They will check your business vitals, identify the root cause of what's restricting your growth, prescribe what to do about it, and help you achieve it, just like we do with our patients. Imagine a practice, imagine your practice, where stress is reduced, profits increase in both patients and staff, and you are happier. They've been making that vision a reality for over a decade. Isn't it time your practice thrived? Discover how at physiciangrowthaccelerator.com.
This is golden information because I really want to highlight optimism here and normalize the experience that, yes, you made a great decision at that time with whatever information you had, and then you started and you realized that this is not a match anymore. And why I really want to highlight this, Jen, is because our physicians, this is all, again, coming back to the whole burnout, moral injury, and I'm going to throw words such as physician suicide, because when we talk about all these very serious topics, what do all these big words kind of like come down and break down to? It's your everyday life. And if you feel that you can't leave a bad situation and go and further your life, that can be very, it can be very incredibly dejection. And, you know, you feel like there is no way out. And so I really, really want to key in that even if right now you are not able to find good references at the place where you just left or where you're at, if there is a human and your program, you can go all the way back there, or your last employer and your peers and colleagues who can attest to your character, your professionalism, that still works. All right. So shifting gears a little bit, in your experience, and I know that you alluded to it a little bit earlier in terms of like negotiating lifestyle changes versus compensation. So I guess my question will be very direct. And in your experience with larger organizations, what is easier or more flexible to negotiate? For example, maybe I want some more admin time. Can I have some flexibility dropping my children off to daycare in the morning? Can I have a slight bump in my base salary? What do you think would be high impact, low hanging fruit that maybe we can start normalizing people to ask for?
I think flexible schedule is key. That's one of the easy items, because you can, you know, flex on either end of the day or in the middle of the day, those types of things. I think salary is a little bit more challenging. I would say most employers want to make their best offer out of the gate. And then they're also considering equity within the department, you know, based on the specialty, things like that. So not as much flexibility, but you might be able to negotiate a signing bonus. I think there's a little more flexibility within that. And a lot of places will set those up as forgivable loans. So just be mindful, you know, you'll repay with your time working for that employer. So that might be something that offset a salary. As far as vacation time and things like that, like I mentioned before, with a large organization, you know, there's not as much flexibility because they're pretty standard benefits packages. However, you know, admin time might be something, research time, time working with a residency or fellowship or other, you know, committees you might be interested in, things like that, I think is where you have the most flexibility in a large academic or large health system.
I'm just curious to know how many people actually even negotiate when approaching in your experience with large organizations, and especially if you think about the first-time job seekers, like, are people even asking or are they just accepting?
I would say 90% of the time they're asking. Most people will ask, we'll negotiate something. Can we do it? Not necessarily, but we do try when we can.
That's heartening to hear that more people are actually thinking about, you know, what they want, because this is how I view it when I'm working with early career physicians is, if you ask now, the chances that you bring your best self to work in your organization will be higher. That you provide the best care for your patients and really care for your colleagues is going to be the best way. This is good to hear.
I think you bring up a really great point. Asking now, right? Now's the time to do it, right? When you're coming in, I think it's a lot easier to do when that offer is on the table and they really want you. It's the honeymoon period, so to speak, versus once you're there, you've been working, it might be a little bit harder to negotiate and change things that are already in place.
That was a really good point too, absolutely. As you think of this whole process, and you now have had so much experience, without just asking directly, what are the three things maybe, or one thing, let's go with that, you wish physicians would stop doing this during this process because they are really self-sabotaging when they're doing that? And if there is a better way to do that?
I know it's going to sound a little weird, but I think the biggest thing is to not ghost your recruiter or the employer you've interviewed with. Lately, I've seen a large uptick in that happening. And it's really challenging because we really don't get to close that loop and understand, you know, why they're no longer interested, which only helps us be better. So from that perspective, it's a little disappointing. But also, you know, it's a situation where right now might not be the best time for you, you know, to work at a certain place. But down the road, 5-10 years, you never know what's going to come your way. And so you don't want to burn those bridges. And I think it's really important too, you know, medicine it's small. The circles are very small. Everybody knows everyone. And as you establish yourself within your field and, you know, as your career moves on, you get to know a lot of people. And so you don't want that to be, you know, what you've left as an impression with certain people, certain organizations. And like I said, you just never know, you know, 5-10 years down the road, wasn't the right fit for you coming right out of training, but it could be a great opportunity. And you don't want to burn that bridge with a potential employer. So I think it's really important. And it's not a lot, you know, a lot of times it's just sending an email. I know people are busy. Doesn't have to be lengthy. It could just say, you know, I enjoyed meeting you. Unfortunately, my job search is going in a different direction, or, you know, had some decisions I've made and I don't know that this is the right fit for me right now. So just asking that, you know, you kind of close that loop and know where things stand, I think is really important.
Well, I am an absolute, I hate ghosting in all shapes and forms. So I will completely echo that because it's not helping you. It's not helping the organization do a better job. If there is a problem, it's always really important. And the bottom line is, it's just not professionalism at all. I am glad we connected when I was a resident and we have continued to foster this relationship. And even in my processes, anytime I've had contact with a recruiter, it's really funny because I am actually have stayed in contact with a lot, because I think it comes to the point where you're just growing. Even if you're growing your personal brand, that's who you are, how you show up in spaces. Okay. So that's one thing. Anything you would wish other than that during communication and emails or during phone calls that the physicians would do differently to improve their chances of success or to just relay their message better?
You know, I think sometimes I talk to people who, you know, say what they think you want to hear. Right. But that's not really what they're looking for. And then that really makes it difficult to help them find a job. I mean, I'm an in-house recruiter, so I'm only looking for people to work at my organization. But I truly can't find out if you're a good match for the opportunity I have available. I work with primary care, and oftentimes I talk to people who say, oh yeah, primary care, I'm happy to do that. But the reality is they really want hospital medicine. And so I don't have a job for them. I could get them to the right person, but I don't know that that's really what they want. And then along, you know, as we move through the interview process, a lot of times this comes up in conversation with the department chair, other interviewers, and it's really challenging to navigate from there. And I'm like, that's not what I was told. Otherwise, I would have moved them through the process in a different manner. So I think, you know, knowing what you want and sharing that with the recruiter up front kind of gets back to reflecting on your career goals and things like that. But not just telling the recruiter what they want to hear, I think, is really important.
Okay. Clarity. Know what you want, communicate what you want, and not what you think the other person wants to hear, because eventually you're not helping yourself with the whole process. As we wrap up, what are your takeaways, any advice you want to give to physicians and thinking about early career physicians as well as physicians at large? Just good recommendations from you.
I think, you know, like we talked about transparency, knowing, you know, what your career goals are. But I think the last thing I want to, you know, say is do your homework, right? Do the research on the organization you're interested in, the job, look at compensation values, fair market value, benefits packages, and know, you know, what's out there in the market so you can be informed as you start your job search. And have really good foundation for negotiating. You'll be more confident when you enter those negotiations. And always, you know, put your best foot forward. Keep it professional and transparent in communication. I think those are all key elements that would really get you off on the right foot as you begin your job search.
Thank you so much for your time today, Jen.
You're very welcome. It was my pleasure.
Being contacted by recruiters can be a lot. I've been at the same job for over 12 years and I still get texts and emails, sometimes in the middle of the night. Instead, get matched anonymously to find your right job. Beginly Health is a dating app for your career. To swipe right on your career, visit beginlyhealth.com/doctoring. Powered by preference, connected by passion.
Thanks for listening. I have a favor to ask. You listened to the episode until the end, which means you either fell asleep or you really liked the episode. So please share it or like it or comment on a social media post or write us a 5-star review, something. It would really help me out. And maybe what you learned from this episode can help someone else too. The views expressed in this episode are those of the interviewer and interviewee and don't represent the views of their employer or even their significant other. Even though the magic of podcasting make it sound like I'm talking directly to you. This is not a doctor-patient relationship, and this is not medical advice or financial advice or really any advice. Thank us again for listening to The Physician's Guide to Doctoring.